As a hat, it was a remarkable rather than entirely successful piece of personal decoration. It would make an elegant adornment, stylish, shapely and flattering, if the wearer were a small bedside lamp, but not otherwise. People gravitated around him, drawn in by the stories he denied about himself. But what the source of these stories might be, if not his own denials, was never entirely clear. The tales had to do with the psychic powers that he'd supposedly inherited from his mother's side of the family, who, he claimed, had lived at the smarter end of Transylvania. That is to say, he didn't make any such claim at all, and said it was the most absurd nonsense. He strenuously denied that there were bats of any kind at all in his family, and threatened to sue anybody who put about such malicious fabrications, but he affected, nevertheless, to wear a large and flappy leather coat, and had one of those machines in his room which are supposed to help cure bad backs if you hang upside down from them. He would allow people to discover him hanging from this machine at all kinds of odd hours of the day, and more particularly of the night, expressly so that he could vigorously deny that it had any significance whatsoever. By means of an ingenious series of strategically deployed denials of the most exciting and exotic things, he was able to create the myth that he was a psychic, mystic, telepathic, fae, clairvoyant, psychosassic vampire bat. What did psychosassic mean? It was his own word, and he vigorously denied that it meant anything at all. From this chasm, with ceaseless turmoil seething, as if this earth in fast thick pants were breathing, a mighty fountain momently was forced, amid whose swift half-intermitted burst huge fragments vaulted. Dirk had also been perpetually broke. This would change. It was his roommate who started it, a credulous fellow called Mander, who, if the truth were known, had probably been specially selected by Dirk for his credulity. Steve Mander noticed that if ever Dirk went to bed drunk, he would talk in his sleep. Not only that, but the sort of things he would say in his sleep would be things like, "The opening up of trade routes to the mumble mumble burble burble was the turning point for the growth of empire in the snorfootle mumble discuss. Like rebounding hail or chaffy grain beneath the thresher's flail." The first time this happened, Steve Mander sat bolt upright in bed. This was shortly before prelim exams in the second year, and what Dirk had just said, or judiciously mumbled, sounded remarkably like a very likely question in the economic history paper. Mander quietly got up, crossed over to Dirk's bed, and listened very hard, but other than a few completely disconnected mumblings about Schleswig-Holstein and the Franco-Prussian War, the latter being largely directed by Dirk into his pillow, he learnt nothing more. News, however, spread quietly, discreetly, and like wildfire. "And mid these dancing rocks, at once and ever, it flung up momently the sacred river." For the next month, Dirk found himself being constantly wined and dined, in the hope that he would sleep very soundly that night and dream-speak a few more exam questions. Remarkably, it seemed that the better he was fed and the finer the vintage of the wine he was given to drink, the less he would tend to sleep facing directly into his pillow. His scheme, therefore, was to exploit his alleged gifts without ever actually claiming to have them. In fact, he would react to stories about his supposed powers with open incredulity, even hostility. "5 miles meandering with a mazy motion, through wood and dale the sacred river ran, then reached the caverns measureless to man, and sank in tumult to a lifeless ocean. And mid this tumult Kubla heard from far ancestral voices prophesying war." Dirk was also, he denied, a clairaudient. He would sometimes hum tunes in his sleep that 2 weeks later would turn out to be a hit for someone. Not too difficult to arrange, really. In fact, he'd always done the bare minimum of research necessary to support these myths. He was lazy, and essentially what he did was allow people's enthusiastic credulity to do the work for him. The laziness was essential. If his supposed feats of the paranormal had been detailed and accurate, then people might have been suspicious and looked for other explanations. On the other hand, the more vague and ambiguous his predictions, the more other people's own wishful thinking would close the credibility gap.